1 Corinthians this morning, chapter number 1. And we're going to read a portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll stand and get this together. I pray that the Lord will give us something. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26. Use this scripture lots of times, and Paul's wrote it down many years ago. It's helped many of folk I know today. And I appreciate the Word of God. It helps me every time I read it. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." You can be seated. Our Father, as we bow in your divine presence, Lord, as we've enjoyed the song service and the Sunday school, Lord, already been made to sit in heavenly places, and Lord, we've already got us a touch from heaven a few times, and Lord, we're not just taking the splatterings. God, we're glad today that you're spouting it out to us, and I thank you for it. Yeah. I pray this morning, Lord, you'll touch every soul in this building. I thank you today, or I praise you today that you brought us here, and I ask you, Lord, that you portion out a portion of the Word of God to us as we put our feet under your table. And Lord, whether it be crumbs or, as a fellow said, a gob, I pray, God, today you give us something from the glory. I pray, Father, that the touch of God be upon us. May we be strengthened, encouraged, and challenged. We'll thank you for what we stand for and do today out of the Word of God, and only you can help us to do it. And I pray now you'd touch hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I thought about in starting the message this morning that I would just talk about the last year and the things that God has done for me in the last year, because this is the last Sunday of the year. And we're going to a brand new year. And this will be the last day that you can do anything for the Lord on Sunday of 2021. But the Lord didn't give me the liberty. So then I thought, well, I'll just back up a little bit and give God the glory for all the years of ministry that God's given me, and just hit the highlights of what God has done for me. And the Lord didn't give me the go-ahead on that either. So then I said, "Lord, since you won't let me do them things, what do you want?" And he said, "I want to know what you're going to do next year." And that hits the grindstone pretty good. I'm not bragging about what I've done or what you've done, and you can't either. But what are we going to do? That's what God's interested in. So I want to look at something here, and I pray that the Lord might help us. I read this scripture to you just a moment ago, read it several times this past week. And I put my name in there. I don't believe we ought to add to the Word and take away from the Word. But somehow the Word of God just applies to me, and I put it down to apply to me, and I put my name in there. And the Lord taught me in verse 27, "But God had chosen the foolish things," Dennis Dills, "of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things," Dennis Dills. Now you put your name in there. Don't put mine in there. Put your own name in there. "Of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things," Dennis Dills, of the world and things that are despised did his deals. Hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not did his deals, to bring to naught none of things that are. Can you kind of apply that today and see where you sit? Now, I'm looking at this and I praise his name that God has allowed me to be a part of the family of God. And I rejoice. I'm not bragging or boasting. I have nothing to brag or boast about. God takes nothing and makes something out of it. That's what he did in the creation. God can take a nobody and make a somebody out of them. I've seen him do it from Genesis to Revelation. I've not only seen him do it in Bible times and Bible days and the books of the Bible, but I've seen him do it in our day.
Amen.
I've watched God take some little old somebody who was nobody and make somebody out of them. We've had some great men come through the country. There have been some great men already passed off the scene and waiting the judgment and waiting the reward. And God blessed them beyond measure. Hard for me to accept that. Hard for me to comprehend it. I guess I can accept it, but comprehend it. I look at these things, and I say this now. Notice what God said. He said, "For ye see your calling, brethren," in verse 26, "how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." It's amazing how God will take and use somebody that's a nobody and make a somebody out of them. Holding your place there today, I don't know if we'll come back to it or not, just in case we do, you got your place. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. This is right related to the Christmas story, but we're not on the Christmas story today. I'll preach that all year long. But we want to go to verse number 11. Of chapter number 2 of the book of Matthew. And I want to notice something here, and I pray that God would help us to understand these things. In Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 11, please. The Bible said, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts." Three gifts they offered: gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is the character of the land, I guess. People, the high quality of gold, people love it. Frankincense and myrrh has to do with fragrance and preservation, preserving. These kings, or we call them kings, but we'll find that they came and they bowed before the young child and they offered these three gifts. And I thought about what can I offer the Lord? And I got to looking and I don't have anything to offer him. I don't have much gold, don't have any gold, but I don't have any monetary substance much. I try to give the best I can for that. I don't have frankincense and myrrh. And I realize that I don't have anything to give him but an old wretch that he saved and picked up out of the mire. And I'm a nothing and a nobody. Now, some of y'all might get mad at me before I get through with this because that's all you are.
Amen.
You think you're something bigger and better than that. Amen. Some of you may think if you sweated, you'd cure cancer with your sweat. But I don't care. It don't work that way. You with me? I'm telling you this morning that by the grace of God, I am what I am, but I'm a nothing. And I'm looking forward for next year that God will take a nothing and do something with him.
Amen.
Some of y'all ain't never done nothing for God. It's about time you got that in reverse and changed that. And let God finish out your years on good terms. Some of y'all, amen, you've done good much. You said, you picking at me? I ain't calling no names. I don't know you. Amen. Just pretend I don't know you at all. And you'll be better off for this message. But I'm a nothing. I realize I'm a nothing. And I look at these and I see, can somebody tell me where Noah graduated college from? Can anybody tell me what kind of degrees that Noah had? Can anybody tell me what standing in society Noah played a role in before the flood? Can anybody give me information this morning that Noah was the well-known greatest man on the earth at the flood time? Can you give me any statistics on that? Fact is, Noah lived in the worst time of man at that time. Evil continually in the hearts of people. Noah was despised, talked about, hated, rejected, laughed at, made fun of. His kids is made fun of. His poor little wife, she is made fun of.
Right. Amen.
He was a somebody in the eyes of God, but a nobody in the world. But the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And God prepared an ark through him and destroyed the earth by water and salvaged out a new creation. Eight people repopulated the earth. Are you with me? What about Moses for a moment? Moses, he was one of the meekest men on the face of the earth. But you remember when God spoke to him out of a burning bush? Moses, Moses. And he looked and he said, when he walked up to the bush, he says, put off your shoes for the ground you're standing on is holy ground. He wanted to see why the bush was burned and not consumed. And so God said, I've chosen you to go down to Egypt and deliver my people out of Egypt. You're going down to see Pharaoh. And can you remind yourself of what God told us out of the Word of God? Moses started making excuses. He's a Baptist.
Right.
Start making excuses. I'm not eloquent. I can't speak well. I don't know how to talk to people. Moses reminds me of me. I've always had a vocabulary problem speaking to people. I hear these preachers use these great swelling words, and sometimes I listen to them and I'm saying, Lord, have mercy. Where'd they learn that stuff at? The only way I could preach with that is to use a Webster's dictionary instead of a Bible. And they say these fancy words. Have you ever sat under preachers and you thought you needed a dictionary or something to figure out what he meant by that? Of course, most folks don't pay much attention. You've been reading Bible words all your life and don't look them up. Amen. We skip over. I said that in Sunday school this morning. We skip over some, don't we? We don't know what it means, but we don't have time right now. We got to go. We ain't got time to work that out. And then we forget it. But we'll find that Moses said, I can't speak eloquent. God said, shut up, Moses. I'll get somebody to speak for you. Aaron, he'll talk for you. Now, I'll speak to you, Moses. You tell Aaron, and Aaron will tell the people. Now, a lot of people don't pay no attention. They think every time Moses spoke, he's speaking to the people. But it was Aaron speaking to the people. Read it. You'll find it over and over and over. And Aaron, and God said, and Aaron told the people. Sometimes Moses said, God told me to tell the people. He'd tell Aaron, and Aaron go tell the people. So you just got to read that in there. It's there. And he said, well, did I not make man's mouth? Amen. How many of you said, I can't talk to people about the Lord? I don't know how to witness to people. Get over it. Time to learn.
Amen.
I can't talk to football players. I don't know their lingo. I don't know their language. I can't talk to professors because they're over my head. But anybody can talk to a sinner
All you got to tell them is about Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, going to the grave. And listen, you're trying to make it too hard for yourself. Just tell them what God done for you.
Amen.
That dried up a little. I felt that dry up on the vine. But I'm right. You need to major on how you're going to win somebody. Moses, God used Moses. I think about Abraham, poor old Abraham. Some of these folks had something in common. Noah listened. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Moses was willing. Finally became obedient after God twisted his arm a time or two. You said Moses had to be his arm out? Yeah, God had to twist his arm. Moses, put your hand in your bosom. Pull it out. Leprous all over. Put it back in there, Moses. Oh, fine now. What's that in your hand, Moses? That's a rod. Throw it down. He throwed it down and became a serpent. He said, now, Moses, pick it up by the tail. And he did. Everybody in the world knows you. Amen. Knows what a snake is. And Moses was troubled. Guess what? He's proving to him. Smite that water over there, Moses, with that rod, and it became blood. It proved it to him. God took a nobody and made somebody out of here. Over 1.5 million people came out of Egypt over that. And he, it's a wonder he wasn't a crazy man. You wander with them for 40 years and can't get them to do nothing. Amen. But Moses was a nobody. God made a somebody out of him. I think about men like David. You know why David was a used man? Why he was blessed? You know why God, David and Moses and all these I talked about had faults. Abraham and all those had faults. But Abraham believed God, faith. David was a man after God's own heart. Yeah, he sinned, but God used him because he was willing to get rid of those sins.
Amen.
And he did, and God blessed him. Think about Paul. Think about John. So in this next year, I want God to use me. I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, but I want God to use me. I'm going to tell you what I want to do this next year in just a moment. But I want us to turn over into the book of Hebrews. And I want us to get chapter 12. Now I pray God to help us here. I'm going to tell you why God don't use you. I'm going to tell you why your life hasn't been blessed. You said, oh, God's blessed me. God's blessed me. Yeah, He's blessed everybody in this building. Just sitting here this morning will state that fact. But you know what? God wants to give you and do more for you than He's ever done. I want next year to be the greatest year I ever have. I really do. I've had some great years. I can glory off of what I've already been through and what I've seen God do for me. I could write a book, a thick book, on the things that God has done and triumphed with me down through the years and been with me, never left me nor forsaken me, and all the promises He's given me and brought them to pass. You could do. But amen, I'd like to double that thickness of that book in this next year. Amen. You said you're looking for God to bless? I'm expecting God to bless. I ain't looking. I know He's coming. If we meet the criteria, God will give it to us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing all we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Two things there we've got to do. We've got to lay aside every weight, and secondly, we've got to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, in verse 2. You know his boys that run? I seen somebody running down the road this morning. But if I go run a race, and this is the day I'm going to run a marathon, people talk about running marathons. On the morning marathon, I'm going to prepare for the race. Let's see. I wouldn't get any Bibles that early. Give this home. I'm getting ready for a race. On the mark, get set, boom. How far do you think I'm going to take off? How far do you think I'm going to go before I faint? Tell you the truth, without the soul books, ain't going to be far. Okay. With all these weights, I'm not going to go far. So what does he say? He said, run the race with patience. And he tells us on here, seeing we are compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside some of the weights. Did I miss that? I missed it on purpose. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside two or three weights. Still wrong, ain't it? Every weight. What are them weights? Preacher, I'm as fit as a fiddle. I know some folks as fit as a fiddle, and they still don't do nothing for God. Amen. Well, what that means is, you said, how come? They qualify physically. Yes, they qualify physically. They eat good. They are exercised well. They've got rid of everything. They're not overweight. They're not, in this modern day, it ain't fat, it's obese. Not obese. Amen. Some fellow said something about my weight the other day, and I said, well, if we ever have famine, somebody got to preach funerals. Amen. What if I starved to death? I'd preach. Amen. But I got more reserve. That ain't got a lick of Bible to stand by it, but it sure sounded good. Right? All right. So I just rejoice in the Lord for the victuals I get. The Bible calls them victuals. Amen. I thank them. Thank God for that. And I guess victuals makes victims or something, but it all sounds good. But I'm thinking about that. What kind of race we got to run? We're running the race with patience. We got to get rid of the weights. Now let me give you a few little things I could throw at you this morning. Here's the kind of weights you need to get rid of. Everybody looks at this and they think it's pork and beans and them things ain't good for you, but I eat them. A lot of stuff I eat ain't good for me. You eat them. I still got what the Bible says. I give thanks for it. And I'll commit it to the Lord and tell him I don't want him to kill me with it. Amen. Bless it if he can. And he's done pretty good. I've got my 3 score and 10. I'm on the plus side of 3 score and 10. Amen. Somebody said, I ain't wanting to go. I heard a fellow tell me the other day, he said, I'm 80 something years old, said, but I ain't wanting to go today. Well, you better get ready to go sometime or another. When I was little and young, in my 30s, my 40s, my 50s, you know what happened? I thought everybody, I had another lifetime to live yet. I didn't think about dying. And if you are in this building, it's because you ain't got there close. Amen. When you get to about 60 and 70, and I know I'm not lying, but everybody in here is in that age, and we got a few like you. You have given some consideration and some thought.
Amen.
that it's going to happen sometime or another, sooner or later, and we hope it's later. But we are leaving. Now, what kind of weights can we take off of us at this age? Anger. You ever seen people say, you need to go to anger management classes? I can enroll you tomorrow in an anger management class. Matter of fact, I could enroll you this afternoon. You got one? I sure have. This church has an anger management class.
Amen.
It starts at Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, and ends at Revelation 22. And the last word in is amen. Get in that book and you'll get your temper under control.
Amen.
Everybody in this building's got a temper problem. Some of us has got a short fuse to that temper. All we need is a spark to set us off. And most everybody needs 3 or 4 sparks. There may be 1 or 2 of you in here that have to have a torch to set it on fire, but I doubt there's many like that. It don't take much to light our fuse anymore. We go around with anger. Don't like this and don't like that. Now, I believe we ought to be angry and sin not. I ain't really fully figured all that out, but I'm getting better at it. I can't explain all of it, but I think I'm getting better at it. Notice I said, I think I'm getting better at it. I might have got myself convinced, but it may not be so. You follow me? Anger management. I believe we ought to be mad at the devil, mad at sin, mad at the world and the things that's going on around us. We shouldn't love them, put our arms around them, shouldn't hug the world or despise sin. We ought to hate sin with a passion. But we ought to love the things of God. And people that's lost and undone, they can't help it what they do. We'd blame the devil for what they do. We need to lay aside our anger. I believe we need to lay aside foolishness. Take that weight of foolishness off. Some of us are full of foolishness. I catch myself saying things sometimes, and I've always been one who wants to pop off with a joke of some kind, make something laugh, and it's just my nature. Foolishness. I believe he's got a sense of humor. If you don't believe he's got a sense of humor, you look in the mirror when you get home. That's right. Amen. I mean, some of you think you look real pretty and nice, you know. If you stand before that mirror long, you're going to look at that and say, ugh. I believe God coughed when he made my nose. I believe God drawed a breath when he made my ear. But you remember what God said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves you. Amen. If you're already married, your wife loves you, or your husband loves you. There'll be somebody down the road to love you if you amen. Ain't found one yet, amen. But I'm telling you, as I look in the Word of God, we ought to lay aside our foolishness. We ought to lay aside our selfishness. How can you run a race when you're foolish, when you're angry, when you're selfish, when you've got unforgiven sin in your life, when you haven't got an unforgiven spirit?
Amen.
When you've got, you know, anger built up in there, you need to get to the place you get rid of all that. Does this make sense tonight, today? We need to lay aside every sin. Amen. And ever wait to dust trees have beset us. Now let me just give you some things I'm looking for God to do for me next year. I'm nothing. But I sure would like God to take... I realize what the Bible says
in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah said the potter. You know the potter? You know who the potter is, don't you?
No.
See, a preacher has that place up here on 97, the mark of the potter. No. The potter is the Lord Jesus. And Jeremiah talked about he put the mud or the whatever it is he's making the pottery out of, the clay. And he forms it and it don't form right. And it's marred and he starts all over again. And I hate to admit this, but God's had to start all over on me many times in my life.
Amen, amen.
I've jumped in and helped him out. And while he's trying to put a pretty little curve in my life, or a nice little ridge to make me look better and to be better, I wiggle around too much and mar it. And I get out of kilter. Now I know it don't work. It's just like, according to the scriptures here, God is the potter. I'm the clay. He'll make me what he wants to make. But sometimes we're not happy with what he makes.
That's right.
And I pray that I, in the next year, will take my hands off of this vessel and say, God, do with me what needs to be done with me. Get me out of the way that you be able to use me. That's my prayer. I'm fixing to start a new week. A new year. I'm trying to get ready for it. Now's a good time to do it too, ain't it? In next year, I want to read more Bible than I've ever read in my life. I want to read my scriptures more than I've ever read my scriptures. I want to read more Bible. Because it entertains me. It blesses me. It strengthens me. It cleanses me. It keeps my mind on God. Amen. I want to make sure I take everything away from myself today. That bringing, I guess what I say, notice to the flesh. I only want to do what God wants me to do. I want nothing to hinder me from being where God wants me to be in my life. I want to have more Bible reading, more Bible study than I've ever had. I want to do more preaching. I want to do more praying. I want to do more teaching than I've ever done. I want to walk. I want to talk. I want to run that race. That's what I have a desire for. I'm preaching this so that you'll help me and get in there with me. I pray that Bible Way Baptist Church becomes a church that people read their Bible more than any, and I'm not trying to make a challenge with any other church, and I'm not running no race with any other church. But I'd like for it to be where this church is known only in the mind of God. That is a church that studies and reads the Bible more than anybody else around.
Amen.
Not so we can brag on it, but so that we can see the Lord work. And if we do, you say, well, nobody ever know it. Oh, yeah. You read your Bible and study your Bible and follow that Bible. Everybody will know there's something going on in their life. Have you ever read the Bible and it started getting hold of you? You know what you usually do, don't you? Quit. But when you get to that place, you just read more. And the next thing you know, you get in deeper. And after a while, you get like, oh, you, guess what happened to Enoch? He got to walking with the Lord so close that he just walked on out of here.
Amen.
Forgot the time of day. Got closer to heaven than he did to earth. And he just went home with the Lord. Amen. That scares half the church folks. Amen. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm here or there. It don't matter. When I got saved, I become a child of the King. I've been following the King for years, and that's not Martin Luther. Amen. I've been following the King. That's not Elvis Presley.
I've been following the king for years. And he's rubbing off on me. You ever watch this? You take a little boy and a little girl and they fall in love and they get married. And she changes some of her habits to be like he is, and he changes some of his habits. Most of the time it's the boys changing more like her, but that's in our modern age, you know. And I've heard this all my life. And they say, after you've been married a while, you start acting like each other. Huh? You heard that?
That's true.
Is it? All right. So you start taking on each other's form. And that's why I want to be with Jesus. I want to be more like Him every day. And I know everybody ought to go home and agonize all night and all day and all week this week that God will do that for me, because it sure would make your life easier, wouldn't it? No, it'd make it worse. The more the presence of God around us, the more uncomfortable we become. So I challenge you this morning, and I'm saying this with all my heart. What do you want to be next year? We're finishing up a year. What are we going to be next year? I want to do something for God. I really want to do something for God. I don't want to make no name for myself. I don't have no name to make. But I want something. Amen. I want something to go with me. Brother Troy reminded me of something. I went over to his house and he had television going there, and a fella, I don't know, he had a preacher on there. I ought not tell this part, but that wouldn't. I'm going to tell it first. But had a little fella standing. Well, had a something standing there with a suit, and had down his white collar here had gold letters. I guess it was his name. I don't know. Had gold all over his fingers and his hair. Well, some of you ladies got shorter hair than he had, and I looked at him and he. I tell you the truth, he is a right, I don't want to say handsome, but looking at him, I wanted to say right pretty. And you say men's handsome, you know. And I looked at Troy and I said, is that a he or a she? And he said, it's a he, I reckon. He's a switching through the channels. And he said, you ought to heard the one a while ago. I said, what? He said, yeah, he said over the Bible, said over lay up treasures in heaven. Or lay up treasures in heaven. He said, that means that we're going to have business on the other side. When we get there, we're going to be business, have business in heaven. We've got to lay our treasures up so we have something to deal with. And I thought, that fella's got it all wrong.
Yeah.
I ain't laying up no treasures so I can go have business. Amen. I ain't been too good a business fella down here. Amen. I sure ain't going to do it. Amen. I don't want to do that. No, what it is, you want to lay up some treasures in heaven so you can crown them at crown Christ and have something to present the Lord with.
Amen.
And so, the crazy things going on in the world, ain't it? Ain't this a mixed up world? I want next year to be the best year I've ever had in my Bible reading, studying, witnessing, and preaching, and praying, and teaching, and shouting, and praising God, and singing. Amen. And we'll just get us a long list. Amen. I want to go out with a bang. Amen. Yes, sir. I don't want to die with the rest of the world. I want to shout it out if I get there. Heads bowed, please. Thank you for coming to the house of God. What do you want to do? What do you intend to do? Right now is a good time to...